Thank you, choir. That was great. It's great, wasn't it? Wow. Can you imagine being a shepherd on that hill? Man. Well, good morning. I see you survived your Thanksgiving food coma. Well, I'm glad you're here with us. Today we're going to be taking a short break from our series in Genesis called Foundations. And we're going to be resuming our series next week. But in light of this Thanksgiving holiday that we all just celebrated, I want us to look at this thing called gratitude and Thanksgiving, and see how important it is to God and how we might be better at it. But before I dive in, well, let me just ask you an honest question. When you hear we're going to have Thanksgiving, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I heard turkey, pumpkin pie, family. What place does Thanksgiving show up? For Thanksgiving. In fact, I think when we pray over the food at Thanksgiving, it's often the shortest prayer of the year because nobody wants the food to get cold. So I'm just concerned that maybe we've forgotten what Thanksgiving is really for and about. And who are we supposed to be giving thanks to? Well, in 1620, the pilgrims came over from Europe seeking freedom to express their worship to God and came to this new land. And in 1621, less than half of them remained. But those people got together with the Native Americans to celebrate the very first Thanksgiving. And I think there are people that... I think people who write textbooks, I think, are the most confused, who describe this event often as the settlers, the pilgrims, got together to thank the American Indians or the Native Americans for helping them grow crops. Actually, that's not true. They were thankful to them for sure, and they were kind and nice people, but they gave thanks to Almighty God for saving them. They lost half of them, remember. And so they're thankful to be alive. They're thankful for food. They're thankful for God's provision. Well, 186 years later, George Washington picked up on this theme, and right after he was inaugurated as the very first president of these United States in 1789, he issued a proclamation for a national day of thanks that was later memorialized into a permanent holiday by Abraham Lincoln in 1863, right at the height of the Civil War. But I think it was really important for us, and I found it fascinating, to look at a quote from George Washington's original proclamation of what this holiday was about. And picture, if you would, any contemporary president we've had in the last 20 years saying the same things that George Washington said and how this country might respond. And this is a quote from George Washington. "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of God, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care, protection of the people of this country, for the manifold mercies of His providence, for the great degree of tranquility and plenty, and for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed." Does that sound like some president today, or does that sound like a lost thought? This is what the country originally set aside this day to do. But today, I think it's really been overtaken by the five F's: friends, family, feasting, maybe football, and flight to the malls. You and I live in one of the most wonderful and blessed nations on earth, but many in the United States still respond with dissatisfaction and entitlement rather than gratitude. Some of us are still plagued with the truth of the axiom, you don't know what you have until it's gone. See, Romans 1:21 tells us the nature of mankind without the Savior. In Romans 1:21, he says, they knew God, but they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. The first telltale sign of a society walking away from God is they do not give him thanks. But in 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2, Paul described to Timothy the nature of mankind in the latter days. And boy, it sure seems like today. So maybe this is the latter day. It says, in the last days, men will become lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. The list goes on to two more verses. Ungratefulness is a plague in our society today. And the Bible actually has over 400 verses on us needing to be thankful. You'd think God was serious. I think he was. So we're going to dive in the Word today and see what God would want us to know about this matter of continually overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude and being thankful always, regardless of our situation. So let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to start there. And know that we're going to go through several passages other than Colossians this morning, so you might want to buckle up. But we're starting there. Verse 6 of chapter 2. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And let's go over to chapter 3, one chapter over, and begin at verse 15. And see if you can pick up even in these verses if God's serious about being thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And sometimes I think, Father, even we believers forget to give you thanks as much as you deserve. We see things that we might not like. We see things we wish were different. And somehow they prevent us from being content and giving thanks. So, Father, would you look in our hearts today and expose what we really are doing and give us hearts that are gratitude in our hearts, that are grateful to our God, that are thankful for all that he's done. Because, Father, your people, just like our brother Timothy said, should be the most grateful people on this planet. Help us to see what you want us to see, that you might accomplish great things in us, that through Christ you've given us all wonderful reasons to be grateful. So help us to root ourselves in those today and to grow and to be people that are truly thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I have a lot of things in my life that I can be thankful for. So how many here have at least a couple things that they could be thankful for? I better see every hand. Okay. I didn't know some of you were just like, well, there's not even one or two. I'm down to zero. Good. I think that's true. But hopefully today in this message, you're going to see that those hands should have shot up so fast, because you would have said, no, I don't have one or two. I've got 10,000 reasons. Just like we sang. See, and there's many people in my life that I'm thankful for. Family and friends. There's things that I'm thankful for, of things how God has brought me through things, sustained me in things, protected me in things, blessed me in things, answered prayers. And no doubt there are people that here feel the same way. And I'm hopeful that most of us here today do not need another message about giving thanks to God in good times. But I'm not so sure. Because even non-Christians express thanks to God. You do know that, right? I mean, I've seen it on how many countless shows and sports events, athletes that have never exalted or honored God in their life, or movie stars that have done the same. They stand up to the mic and have no problem saying, I thank God for bringing me here today. Really? Well, we know that when things are going good, that's easier to say. But God's word says we're not called just to give thanks in good times, even though that's true. But some of us still need the training wheels of thankfulness. And we're not even good at giving thanks in good times. A reminder from Scripture that all of us could maybe benefit from, of why it's important, comes right out of Luke chapter 17. It's a passage some of you know well about Jesus healing 10 lepers. These men were outcasts, isolated, lonely men, going through a bad season of their life. They couldn't participate in society. They had to warn others, stay away, unclean. They couldn't touch anyone. That is, until they met Jesus, and they cried out for him to heal them, and Jesus in mercy did so. And he told them to go show themselves to the priest. And as they did, they were all healed, all 10 of them. Their lives were radically changed. They entered a brand new, wonderful season of their life. But it said only one came back to thank Jesus. Jesus wondered, like we do, what happened to the other 9? But I think he's just showing us an example of how we are. Sometimes we think thankful thoughts, but we never express thanks. You ever found yourself there? I need to thank that person. There's 2 people right now I need to thank, and I'm not going to do it in the service, but I do need to write a card to them because I haven't yet expressed the thanks that I feel. We're caught up in this, and these people did the same. So Jesus shows that even in good times, people don't thank God. So where are you this morning? Are you thanking God even for the good things? Because if you can't start there, it's going to be harder the longer we go today. Because we're actually asked to give thanks in the tough situations as well. But we got to start here. So are you a thankful person? Can you at least thank God for the good things? Because I think David had it right in Psalm 103, verse 2. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do what? Forget not all his benefits. We are so quick at times to forget what we should remember and remember what we should forget. I mean, we have no problem remembering those offenses against us that so-and-so and so-and-so committed against us that we should have let go long ago. We can criticize ourselves till the cows come home about how we failed God, and we can beat ourselves up even after confessing sin. Those are things we should forget because they're as far as the east is from the west. But what do we remember? Should we remember the good things? No, we don't do that at times. We need to remember all of God's benefits. And we have to also remember it with this perspective. I think we are confused. I think all of us think that good things are what we deserve. Bad things are what we don't deserve. Anybody thought that? I think we all subliminally do. But we got to remember that you and I do not earn or deserve any of God's wonderful blessings. He blesses us. He is good to us because he's good, not because of us. So we don't deserve a thing. And whenever you get anything from God, it's like, whoa, thank you. Not, it's about time. Anybody ever given somebody a gift in life, in real life? I've had this happen to me, where you give them a gift and they say, it's about time. I've been asking for this for 4 years. Wow, that makes you feel so appreciated. I think some of us treat God that way. Hey, you've been withholding the blessings. It's about time. Well, today we're going to look at three things in Colossians, Ephesians, and Psalms about the importance of gratitude, basically why we should be grateful to God, reasons to be thankful, or the what we should be thankful for, and three, biblical ways we can express our thanks or gratitude, or the how we can be grateful. So let's jump in with the why. Well, number one, God desires it and commands it. Over and over in Scripture, God reminds his people to be grateful and thankful people. And we see, even in our passage this morning in Galatians 2, 6, and 7, a statement that links our growth and maturity to being overflowing with gratitude. See, Paul's reminding us, on what basis do we have gratitude? Paul's saying it's not based on circumstance, it's based on, has you received Christ? And how did you receive Christ? By faith. It was a gift to you, right? So he wants you to remember that everything you have in God, it was a gift. And you should be grateful. There's where your gratitude comes from. He gave you faith to believe. God chose you before the foundation of the world. You're adopted into his family. You have an eternal life given to you. You have an eternal home because he wants you to be with him where he is. So we have to say, are we really grateful? Or do we think like this? The good things that come my way in life are because I earned them. I deserve them. I pulled myself up by the bootstraps. I worked hard for them. Well, James would take exception with you, because in James chapter 1, verse 7, it says, every, not most, not some, not a few, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Right? Anybody have anything that's from above today? Yes, it's a good and perfect gift. See, but unfortunately, many Christians are still grumblers. They don't have godly attitudes. They don't show gratitude unless it fits the narrow window of what they could be grateful for. It's the right color. It's the right size, the right time, the right words, the right... We have a lot of limitations on what we'll be grateful for. I mean, how many people here have received a gift or seen someone receive a gift that there's no gratitude whatsoever because it's the wrong color? Oh, what a fool to give you red when you only love brown. I mean, what? No thankfulness for the gift? No, it wasn't what I wanted. Wow, we are so entitled. Well, the other thing, too, he says, remember this in this verse. As you have received Christ, this is what we do to pursue. So how did you receive Christ? It was a gift of God by faith. In the same way, by faith, give thanks and be overflowing with gratitude. You know, sometimes it takes faith to be grateful in a situation. It reminds me, I'll tell the story here. Do we know how to be grateful even when it doesn't look like it's the right thing? And there's a little girl that had received a big box at Christmas time, and she was so excited. This little girl got this box, and she rips it open, and it's a box full of horse manure. And she was so excited. She was digging through the box, and their dad's saying, what are you so excited for? Hey, with all this manure in here, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Is that your attitude? Do you have a positive attitude even when life hands you something you don't want? This is what God's calling us to. And this is incredible. See, because there's not a single one of us who can boast in ourselves how we got saved. There's not a single one of us that can't say it was a gift from God. And that he set us free. He gave us a relationship sealed in him forever. These things alone should set us up for thanksgiving for eternity. These things alone. But God's going to show you so much more. But he's worthy of our praise. He's commanded it. And Psalms, it says over and over, it says, sing praise to the Lord, his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. These are not suggestions. It says, consider singing praise to the Lord when you feel good, and give thanks when you like it. No. Imperative, sing praise to the Lord without condition, and give thanks to his holy name without condition. Do you see the Psalms this way? When you read the Psalms, do you see this? That when you read the words, give thanks to his holy name, does that mean you've done it? If someone tells you the verse and you read it, give thanks to his holy name, have you given thanks? No, you have not. You can only give thanks when you mentally recall what it is that you're giving him thanks for, and you do that. So don't just think that by saying, praise the Lord, that you've praised the Lord. It's a command. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are wonderful. You are awesome. You are holy. You are good. Those are his praises. Thank you for working in my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. Thanks for forgiving me. Those are thanksgivings. You can't just say, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. But he wants to know what for. It's almost like someone coming up to you and says, forgive me. Well, please forgive me. And you say, for what? So important. Well, I want you to forgive me for you feeling bad because I did this. No, that's not. Okay, so the point is, God wants to know why we're thankful. Well, but in Colossians 3:15, Paul writes how God upped the ante. Now, we looked at Colossians 3. We read that. It says this. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Do you notice it doesn't say act thankful? It doesn't say express thanks once in a while. It says live in a condition of perpetual gratitude and thankfulness. Be, the act of being thankful. Is that you? You can hardly find you when you're not in a condition of thankfulness, because you are being thankful. This is incredibly hard, right? Without the Spirit of God, I don't think we can do this. But God, you know, being thankful is a condition that we should say is all the time, not just at Thanksgiving, not just on Thankful Thursdays on KFAX, all the time. And we can't forget as many blessings. Well, thankfulness is appropriate regardless of circumstances. This is where he goes next. He makes it harder. He not only says, be thankful, exist in this perpetual state of thankfulness. Some of you are struggling right now that that's even possible. But he does says this in 1 Thessalonians 5. It's a short verse, but challenging. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And as you read this, you might think that God's actually asking you to be thankful in every circumstance, both good and bad. And you're right. He is. He's not just saying, give thanks for your salvation, your safety, your provision, your healing, but when bad things happen in your life, you can thank him in those circumstances as well. Why? Because his sovereign goodness is still on display. His love never ends. He is always good to you. He can be nothing else but good to you. That's who he is. And just because we don't see the difference between good and bad like he does, doesn't mean he's still not being good, even when it hurts. This is why he's saying, give him thanks in all circumstances. But God doesn't even stop there. In Ephesians 5:18, it says this, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. This is all what happens to a Spirit-filled Christian. But he always says, he had the nerve to say this next, always giving thanks for all things. Now, I can understand I have cancer and you're going to do wonderful things in my life. I don't have cancer. I'm just saying, if I had cancer right now and you're saying, well, you know, Lord, even in this situation, I know you're going to work out your good and I'm thankful. That's one thing. But can you say thank you for my cancer? Because I know you're doing something that is impossible to be done any other way in your kindness and love. I trust you. This is what he's calling us to. This is why only people who have the Spirit of the living God through Jesus Christ can do these things. The world cannot do this. Can you imagine? So does he want you to give him thanks in all of life's circumstances? Yes, he does. Not just for the good. Pastor Chuck Swindoll shared a lesson, and I'm hoping I have the time to share it. This is a quote from him. And I think it really applies to understanding this. So I'll read it for you. It was the day before Thanksgiving, 1944. I was a 10-year-old boy. This is Chuck Swindoll talking. A 10-year-old boy walking home from school, a little slower than usual. My heart was heavy, not only because our country was plunged deep into World War II, but because of what happened that morning in class. Although I attended a public elementary school, the routine was still very patriotic and sacred. Every morning our teacher would lead us as we stood by our desks for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we would all bow our heads and she would lead us in prayer. But this morning was different. When she began her prayer, we noticed her voice began to crack. She attempted to go on with her prayer, but she found she was unable to do so. She broke into tears, which was frightening to us 10-year-olds. No one moved. She began to sob. We were frozen. She pulled herself together and sort of stumbled through the end of the prayer, which turned out to be very meaningful, even though it was brief. No one sat down as we always had before. We remained standing. She looked across the stunned room, wiped her tears, and began to explain why she was weeping. She said she had been married in January of that year, and only 6 months later, she lost her husband on the blood-washed shores of Omaha Beach on D-Day. She finally realized that morning she would experience something for the very first time on that next day, Thanksgiving as a widow. It was almost more than she could bear. Her grief became ours. Several of us cried with her. As I made my way home, I gave thanks for my family, that I would not be alone. Yet there was something special about that day, because it caused Thanksgiving to be set apart in my childlike mind, and to this day it has become the single most meaningful national holiday. He went on to say, because of what I learned in the classroom that day, I continue to remember I need to give thanks regardless, just like my grieving teacher had done. Not thankful only for what he provides and what is good, but for what he withholds or takes away. Not only for those occasions where he blesses, but also those times he says no. Whether we are up or down, at the top of our game or scraping bottom, whether in gain or heartbreaking loss, giving thanks to God is always appropriate. It's powerful. We saw the same sentiment, did we not, in the story of Job. Can you imagine being Job, losing everything you owned, and all 10 of your adult children in a single afternoon tragedy? We read in Job 21 what his response would be. I don't know what ours would have been, but his response in Job 1:20 and 21. Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head. There was real grief here, people. He was not just a hard-hearted man that didn't care. There was real grief. But he fell on the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. How would we have done? I don't think I could have done this. His trials weren't even over. It actually got worse for him after this. He said the right thing, and he could have said, God, but I praised you even after all of this, and now you make me sick? But after that, it said that he told his wife, who was struggling, shall we only accept good from the Lord and not trouble? See, there's a truth here We must remember in life there will be days of great blessing, great joy, companionship, maybe even laughter, but there will also be tough and painful days. Long, maybe sorrowful evenings. Dark and lonely nights. There's an old Swedish hymn my parents used to sing and taught me, and I miss it. I should sing it more, but it's called Children of the Heavenly Father. It's in the Swedish hymnal, but not in ours, so I'll have to read some of the lyrics for you because I think they're right on point. It says, neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and all their sorrows he knoweth. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children never forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Did you catch the last line? What's he doing in all this heartache and sorrow and trouble and pain? His the loving purpose only to preserve you pure and holy. The fact is, when God is allowing great sorrow into your life and my life, he's still demonstrating his never-failing love and kindness. We have to work hard to believe that, don't we? That he's not just being mean, hard-hearted. See, we were not only to give thanks when he says yes, but also thanks when he says no. He takes. See, when he says yes, thanksgiving and praise seems easy to us, to many. Some don't even do it then. But when he says no, and when pain or sorrow is our experience, it's tough. See, we know some things that the world doesn't know. We know some things that you would never quote to a person going through trial, but it's true. It says that God is working all things out for your good at all times when you love him. If you love God through Jesus Christ today, you have a promise from him that no matter how it looks to you, this is going to work for your benefit. See, our perspective is not eternal. It's not global. It's narrow. And God says, trust me, this is going to work out for your good. If you'd have seen all the facts like I see them, you would have done the same thing. Well, have you ever been granted the privilege of looking back at your life and God showed you why he said no to that prayer request you thought you desperately needed, wanted? I know the country songs say, thank God for unanswered prayers. But I have. I know with absolute certainty that I have become a different and a better man in Christ because of the things he said no to and took away in my life. Many know that my first marriage failed, and when that happened, I prayed and prayed that God would restore it. But he said no. But what did that put me on a 15-year journey of walking just with him to be a different man? And I would have not walked that journey, I can tell you, had he not put me through the process. But I can thank him because I thank him for making me more like Jesus and less like me. Well, we must trust that God is painting a masterpiece out of your life. And he's going to pick all the colors that he needs. And sometimes the sadness and the sorrow, the dark colors that he's using in your life are necessary to reflect and make pop the glory and the brightness of his son Jesus Christ to a watching world. You gotta have the dark colors to accentuate the bright colors. And you gotta trust the painter that he loves you and he's making a masterpiece of your world. Well, reasons to be thankful. We know that God saying having a heart of gratitude is much more than saying thank you once in a while. Gratitude is really a mindset that he wants. He doesn't want just your occasional thanks. He wants your heart to be steeped in gratitude. And it's supposed to be being thankful in all things and for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 goes on to say, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you really want to know what Christ's And God's will is for your life. One aspect of being that will is giving thanks for all things. And God always rewards those who do His will. Did you know that? There's always blessing in obedience. Well, even secular health professionals agree with that. Finally, after thousands of years, they agree with God. It's incredible. Recent studies have shown that gratitude will improve your brain and physical health in at least 5 different ways. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, I'll just zip through them. Doctors say that gratitude is the healthiest emotion and produces clear and positive thinking, reduces stress, and incurs better overall health. 2, gratitude produces happier people. Studies show that the happiest people are not those at Disneyland, but those who are most grateful. 3, those with grateful hearts sleep better. Proverbs said that thousands of years ago, Proverbs 3:24. Gratitude is an antidote for wrong emotions, because you cannot be grateful and worried, or grateful and bitter at the same time. I'm so thankful for what you did. Are you kidding me? That wouldn't be thanks. You say, you're only thankful because your heart says, God's doing something great. I can hardly wait to see what He's going to do. It hurts right now, but I can hardly wait because I trust Him. See, this is what we're looking for. And 5, gratitude improves relationships, reduces conflicts. If you want better relationships at home, with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, be more grateful. I'm telling you, gratitude reduces conflict, because you are no longer the entitled, bitter, critical person. You're the thankful person. Well, there may be people here this morning and you're going through a dark place, a painful place, a lonely place. You're struggling to remember what there even is in my life that I can thank God for, because I don't want to lie to Him. Well, this is why I gave you the list that I gave you. I want us to be reminded, as your worst day as a believer, on your saddest, most sorrowful, toughest day as a believer, you and I receive things from God that we had no part of, no reason to have, except He was gracious. We didn't earn or achieve them, and they stay true throughout all time. And so I'm going to look at these lists. Now, I'm not going to go through all 16 of these, rest assured, but I left them in your notes because I want you to have these next to your beds. If you're having difficulty giving God thanks for something, look at this list. And we're going to go through a couple because they're too good to not just mention. God gave you life, Psalm 139:13. You wouldn't even be here if God didn't do something amazing and bring you forth. You didn't have a part in that. You didn't vote for your birth. You do know that. And some parents said, I'm glad we didn't, because if I had a vote, you wouldn't be here. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 11:8 says this: be grateful for every year you have. Do you know you wouldn't even be sitting in this room had God not divinely protected you and guarded you and shielded you through many of life's difficulties that you didn't even know about? He shepherded you through sickness. In fact, He brought us through COVID, did He not? Maybe through surgeries, right? Illnesses, accidents, near accidents. Some of you have come through cancer. Our God is a delivering, sustaining God, and sometimes we take for granted the life that we still sit here and have. It's an act of divine grace that you're sitting here. And I think we're going to be shocked to see how many times He spared us from our own bozo moves. Well, remember, you didn't find God. He found and chose you. You're worth something to the Almighty God. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. He made us alive in Christ and gave us faith to believe Him. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He resurrected our dead spirits and made us alive to God. You can be thankful that God saved you. Psalm 13:5. Anybody happy that you're just saved? You know that God, when He saved you, He put His presence and power in you in a presence of his Holy Spirit, and he empowers you to do all that he desires, and you've been sealed in him. Jesus will never leave you alone. Did you know this? That your friends may leave you, they may dump you, they may abandon you, betray you. Jesus Christ will never, ever, 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 ever leave you. We are eternally secure in Christ. He says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I want you to get this. Are you a someone? So does this apply to you? Yes. No one is able to get them out of my hand. So you can't even do it because you're a someone. It says you can't take them out of the Father's hand. You are eternally. It doesn't matter what you do in a sense of, I can't mess up. If I seek forgiveness from him, if I trust in him, there's nothing that will separate me from the love of Christ. And we can never lose it. You've been given an irrevocable spiritual gift. You might say, I'm talentless. No, you have at least one gift given you directly by God. So at Christmas, nobody might give you a gift. God's given you a gift. We have peace with God and peace of God. Basically, you've been told that we are not only, the enmity is over, the battle's over, we have peace with God, but he also says we have peace of God. John 14:27, Jesus told us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Can you see what kind of peace Jesus is giving? Supernatural peace. Unobtainable by human peace. And he's giving this to you to guard your anxious hearts and to give you peace in the night. So when you lay your head on the pillow tonight, something that you as a child of God can do that no other person on the planet can do is rest your head in peace, knowing that God is not after you and all things are made at rest in your soul. What a gift. What a gift. You know, no matter how rich, no matter how famous, no matter how wonderful all these movie stars and athletes and everybody that don't know Christ seem to be, they do not have this peace. They are anxious of heart. And all you have to do is fast forward to the time of their death when all the pretense is over, all the charades are over, all the posturing is over. There is no peace in their soul without Jesus Christ. So don't envy their money, their fame, their wealth, their power. It's useless to bring peace. It's useless. Well, God is the provider of all your needs. We have assurance that he hears us when we call. You know, your friends may ignore your texts and not answer your phone calls, but Jesus will never ignore you. God will answer your prayers. He hears everyone, and he will answer. You have a good, good God. He instructs you how to live. I love this. I will praise the Lord who counseled me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Ever tried to get some advice at 2 a.m? Not many places you can call that will accept your call. You might have the same need. The God of heaven is not one of those places. Larry mentioned it earlier. This line is open 24/7. And he trains you, he instructs you, he gives you courage, he gives you hope and peace in the night. When you call out to him, that line is open and you will get what you ask for. No on hold with God. He is a forgiving and healing God. He is your intercessor. Because on your worst day, remember who stands in the third heaven before the Father, representing you as a not only attorney but as your Savior. He says, oh no, Father, this one is your son. This is your daughter. And I have paid the price for them. They have eternity with us in view. They're coming. And I want you to grant to them everything they need to get through this life and to land them home safely in heaven. He's pleading for your case right now. You have an intercessor who's caring and good. See, the ups and downs of our lives don't define them. And our praises are never dependent on our circumstances, but only on the goodness of our God. Well, the last one we're going to go through quickly is, how can we express our gratitude? Well, There's three ways in Scripture we're told to really express our gratitude. Some of us are good at thinking grateful thoughts, but not good at expressing them. It's like the pastor used to use a line that says, you know, loving someone and not telling them is like winking at your girlfriend in the dark. Message not received. So we can either speak our thanks and praise, we can sing our thanks and praise, and we can show our thanks through our actions and demonstrations of thankfulness. So first, it's pretty simple. Just like the leper who came back to talk to Jesus in Luke 17, 15, and 16, it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. I don't know what that is, but I'm not done, am I? Okay. But that's not too difficult a concept, is it? Say your thanks out loud. It's really one of the four ways we pray. Remember the acronym ACTS when we pray? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It should be part of a regular prayer time with the Lord. Thanksgiving. Well, we can also sing our praise and thanksgiving to God. Over and over in Psalms, in the verses you have there, he put a new song in my mouth so we can express gratitude by singing. And some of us are kind of maybe in the dark about this, but did you know that your God is a singing God? And you say, what? Yes, God sings. In fact, in Zephaniah 3:17, it's amazing what he sings about. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. And he will exult over you with loud singing about you. He's happy about you. You're his child. He can't say enough good things. He sings over you. Now, none of us, I don't think, have ever heard God sing yet, audibly. But one day, we will. And there's going to be melody like we have never heard in our lives when we hear our Father sing over us. Sing over. God sings the best, don't you think? Did you know that we wouldn't even have music in this universe if God didn't invent it and create it? He's a musical God. And he wants the people created in his image to be musical back to him in praise and thanksgiving. Sing praises, because out of the overflow of a gushing heart, haven't you ever found sometimes you just want to, oh, say, but I'm glad, oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun, oh, say, but I'm glad. Ever sing a song just because God gave you a song? See, that's what a Spirit-filled Christian does. He sings. He doesn't sing the top 40. He sings praises back to God. So, weak or strong, God wants to hear you sing, and I don't want to hear any excuses, but I don't have a good voice. I don't care. God knows everything about you. He gave you the voice that you have. He knows exactly what it sounds like, and he says, sing to me, my child. Can't people remember, has anybody ever gone through an experience where somebody in their world who used to talk with them lost their ability to speak? I don't know if anybody has. You would almost do anything to hear them say any word to you, even if it was scratchy. This is our God. He says, look, I don't care what your voice sounds like. I know exactly what it sounds like because I gave it to you. Sing back to me. So no excuses, okay? No excuses. The third way is express our gratitude by demonstrating it. We see this in Scripture too. This was the woman who was a sinner at the Pharisee's house that was ministering to Jesus by crying, wiping her tears with her hair, and putting ointment from an alabaster bottle on his feet. They tried to get him to stop. Some scholars believe that this was the same woman who Jesus rescued in John chapter 8, who was caught in adultery and deserved to die. But regardless, it doesn't really even matter. This woman was a sinner who knew she was a sinner, knew she needed Jesus, and was thankful to him. She expressed her thanks by giving an extravagant gift to him. And this is what God's calling us. He says, not with words and song, but giving. God loves when people give to him. This is why we give. We don't give out of a compulsion or a guilt. I'm going to guess, if you don't give very much to God, it's because your gratitude is lacking. Because God doesn't want our gifts of compulsion or of guilt. He wants gifts given out of a heart full of gratitude. God, I can't. Here, take it. Take my wallet. Hey, I don't. I know you'll replace it. What do I care? Hey, if God's name was on your checkbook, what kind of checks would you write? That's the reality. God's name is on your checkbook, and he's going to come back and say, hey, how'd you spend my money? I see it's all on you. That's not what I gave it to you for. See, giving and giving back to God is part of those. And he said this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 7, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And we think that he who loves much gives much. So where's your gratitude? If God evaluated us all today and said, I'm going to look at how much you serve, because service is Romans chapter 12. Giving of your body is only reasonable for someone who realizes how much God did for them. Take my body. It's yours. So when he evaluates our giving, our service, our speech, our singing, can he detect a heart full of gratitude? He wants to. Well, let's close with this. Paul had told us that in everything and for everything we're to give thanks. And my nephew Matthew gave me a real life example of saying thank you in a difficult situation. My nephew Matthew, a few years back, God took him home from cancer at age 18. And he helped me see the truth of giving thanks in and for all circumstances that I think you need to hear. 2 weeks before Jesus took him home, Matthew and I sat facing each other, propped up on his bed. He had already lost one eye to cancer years before. And with his other eye, he fixed it on me. And he said this. I won't forget it. Don't cry for me, Uncle Timmy. We're all going to die. I just happen to know a little bit more closely when I'm going than you. But you could still beat me. Thank you, Matthew, for that encouraging word. But he said this. But even so, I want you to know that I thank my God for my cancer. I know in my heart that I would have never bowed my knee to Jesus had he not been merciful to me and afflicted me with my disease. But because now he did, and because of this mercy, I can say with confidence the words that I also want you guys to put on my headstone. The time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but on all who have longed for his appearing. I'll see you there, Uncle Timmy. When he said that, it changed my perspective of his disease. Sometimes God never shows us that glimpse, but the truth remains. God does not afflict us willingly without good. There's always a loving purpose behind all our afflictions. So I ask you, do you have peace with God and peace of God this morning? Because you only will find it in Jesus Christ. My nephew had found it, even in the face of his imminent death. God speaks messages of love in our misfortunes. Are you hearing the message, or are you looking at the misfortune? I hope all of us will learn to give God thanks for those times that were great, and even for those times that everything collapsed and you thought you couldn't go on. Even though you might have missed your chance for this past Thanksgiving, I pray that every day we would be thankful. And if you can't think of reasons, pull out the list. And maybe it'll whet the appetite and prime the pump. See, having a grateful heart made all the difference to my nephew Matthew and to his family. And I know it will for you too. See, each one of you got to know you're here by divine appointment. You couldn't have not been here today had you tried. God wanted you here, and he wanted you to hear this. Because if you do not know Jesus Christ and as your Savior, you do not have this kind of gratitude in your heart. You can't. You don't have this kind of peace, not only with God, but of God. Do you want peace? Do you want the battle to be over between you and God? You need Jesus Christ. He came just for that purpose. That's why we're celebrating this at Christmas. He came as a baby, but he grew up into a man, and that man lived perfectly his whole life. He didn't commit one thing wrong. He fulfilled every law of God, and he was nailed to a cross and died to bear my sin, to bear your sin. He was put in a borrowed grave for 3 days, but he didn't need it long. He walked out. He lives again. He's raised on high. He gave us eternal life. And he says, come on, I'm coming back. See, this is the hope we have. This is why we are grateful. We don't give thanks just because of circumstances or lack of circumstances. We give thanks because we have an awesome, awesome God who loves us and demonstrates that love over and over and over and over again. Well, if you know Christ today, I pray that you would pursue gratitude this year. Pursue gratitude. May you become known as a person who's always giving thanks, even if he gets a box at Christmas he doesn't want. Because I know that if you do, you won't believe what God will do in your heart and your life. You won't believe the change he'll make in you, even if he doesn't change the situation that originally caused you pain. Obey God and see what he'll do to bless you. I know he wants children that will gratefully and thankfully praise his name because they know their daddy is good. Let's pray. Father, I have so needed this because sometimes I'm so focused on circumstances. You know that I wasn't thankful one time for my refrigerator, the 18 years it ran. But man, when it failed and it took 3 weeks to get a new one, I so desperately missed it. And now I'm continually giving you thanks for a new refrigerator because the old one, I didn't thank you for at all. Change my heart. Let me see what you're doing that is good. Let me see what you're doing that is providing your blessing in my life. Let me see the things you're accomplishing to make me more like your son, Jesus. This is a gospel-centered peace. It only is found in Christ, and it's only found because of what your son did for me and for every Christian who believes in his name. Father, would you make Valley Bible Church a grateful church, a thankful church, and not a critical and just an entitled church? Make us what you want us to be and conform us all to the image of your son, and may we outdo one another, overflowing with gratitude just for all the things you do. In Jesus' name, amen.